I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. We'd like to be looking at verses 38 to 48. I'd like to look at the doctrine of non-resistance. It's a doctrine that we have held as an Anabaptist people. It is based upon love. In verse 13 of chapter 5, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under the bushel, but put it on a candlestick, and it shall giveth light unto all that is in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." We have some very profound teachings here of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And they're possibly a little hard for us to grasp at time, all that he is saying and asking of us as Christians to do. And some would even go as far as to say that this is not for our day today. And I don't profess this evening to understand just everything that is here and how to apply it to our lives, but I believe it is for us. It is for us today. God is calling us to be a salt in the world. He's calling us to be a light, like a city that is set on a hill, to let his light shine. One of the ways of letting our light shine is when the world can see that there is love among us. One of the things that the Bible says that the world is going to be able to know that ye love me is when they can see love among you. As we think of this doctrine of non-resistance, many times we think of that of being conscientious objectors or not going to war. As you think of the doctrine of non-resistance, brothers and sisters, it comes right into the church. It comes right into here. It comes right into how we relate to one another. And the world is going to be able to see our light shine when they can see that there is a love here among us. And that is a challenge to me as I think of this. The doctrine of non-resistance. And we may talk a little later. I'm not sure if I'll be, I'd like to share a message on the dynamics of forgiveness, which we'll get into love among brethren, love in the church. But tonight we'd like to look at what the Bible has to say in relation to the doctrine of non-resistance. There's a story of a young man by the name of Max who lived in Africa. Max was exposed to the gospel, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Max realized, as he studied the scriptures, the teachings of Jesus in relation to loving your enemies, not doing them harm. It was in AD 295 that Max was 21 years old. The officers came to him. He was a strong young man. He was out there splitting wood one day, and the officers came to him, and they wanted to recruit him into the army. And young Max realized that he was a Christian, and he could not fight. He told them so. They pleaded with him. They forced him to go among the officials to be examined. Max firmly stood his ground. He said, "I'm a Christian. I follow Christian principles. I follow the teachings of Jesus. And I cannot take the life of mine enemy." They said, "We give you two options, and only two. Either you join the army, or we will kill you." Young Max stood his ground, and his life was taken. The doctrine of non-resistance. Here was a young man that was willing to stand for truth. What would you do? What would I do in a situation like that? I was told just recently that there was a group of individuals that were involved in mission work in I'm not sure what country it was, but they decided to have a drill in relation to some of their workers to see how firm they stood their ground in relation to truth and whether they would give in under pressure. And maybe you've heard it as well. I just heard it this past weekend that this had taken place. But they took some young men. Unknown to them, they had individuals come in dressed up like the ISIS or at least the military garb and came in there and told them that they're going to take them out and they're going to kill them if they do not renounce their faith. And they took these young men out one by one. They could hear the shots of the guns being fired. And none of them had recanted. They said it did a tremendous impact on those young men's lives. What would have you done? What would have I done? Going to Matthew chapter 5, looking at verse 38. As we think of the term non-resistance, it comes from the term resist not evil. He tells us here in verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whoso shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee. From him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. If ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans the same? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. These are the words of Jesus. And he is telling us here that if there is someone that does us wrong, we're supposed to let it lie. We're not to take revenge. We're not to get even. If somebody smacks me on the right cheek, I turn to him my other. Probably most of us weren't faced with those type of situations. But these are the teachings of Jesus. And we will look and we will notice as we look at his teachings that it goes far beyond. And most likely, if we're not faithful in this area of non-resistance in small areas, it'll probably be difficult for us to be faithful when the real test is put on. It's important that we know where we stand and why we do what we do. The doctrine of non-resistance is based upon love. And Jesus loved people. And God is calling us to the same standard to take on the mind of Christ. In verse 38 and verse 38, it says, ye have heard. And in verse 43, then we see again, ye have heard. That hath been said. They knew what the teaching of the law was. Jesus said, as we look back into Matthew chapter, or in the earlier part of this chapter, in verse 17, he says, think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. Jesus is rising the bar. He's calling us to a higher standard. He didn't come to destroy, but he came to build upon. And Jesus touches far more than just the He gets to the root problem, and we can see that as we look at some of the other teachings in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And that's what he's doing here. He's dealing with the heart. Ye have heard that it hath been said. In the Old Testament, somebody did them wrong. They could take revenge. That's what it has been said. But there's something different here. In Exodus chapter 21, verse 24, we can see that teaching there. It says, if a man strive, in 22, and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall surely be punished. According to the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judgment determined. And if any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And this was the teachings in the Old Testament. This was in their law. They knew this. They knew what it said. In the Old Testament, there were cities of refuge, that if somebody unintentionally did something to hurt someone else, they could flee to that city. And if they were in the city, as long as they were in the city, they could do them no harm. But if their avenger found them outside the city, he could legally do what he felt needed to be done to revenge his enemy. Jesus says here, but I say unto you, this is in the New Testament era. He's giving us a new standard. Jesus came to fulfill the old law, the old priesthood, and was now emphasizing another aspect of God's nature that is to be revealed to the world through God's children. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 12, it says, for the priesthood being changed, there made of a necessity a change also of the law. As we look at the attributes of God and the nature of God, it helps us to understand the basis for the difference between the Old and the New Testament on the doctrine of non-resistance. From the creation to the flood, we had a time to kill and a time to heal. It was not a non-resistant error. From the flood to Christ, we had a time when God called his people to destroy the enemy. They were called to go out and fight. David was a man of war, and he avenged many of his adversities and his adversaries and his enemies. Then we have Christ coming. That is the era in which we're in today. From Matthew to Romans. God is not a God of non-resistance. And there's going to be a time when God is going to avenge those who reject him. There's going to be a day of vengeance. As we look in the Old Testament, we see God as a God of law, justice, and vengeance. And now as we come into the Old Testament, a New Testament, we reveals another aspect of the nature of God. The Old Testament was not an era of non-resistance. That same God who is a God of law and justice and vengeance is also the same God of love and mercy and grace. And he is now revealing that aspect of God, of his nature through us. And he is calling us to a higher standard. He is calling us to love our enemies and to do good to them who misuse us. As I said earlier, God's nature is not a nature of non-resistance. In the Old Testament, he was referred to as a God of war. Exodus chapter 15, verse 3 says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. If God was non-resistant, then Satan would be ruling the world because Satan rose up against God. But God resisted the devil and casted him out. If God was a non-resistant God, There would be no heaven or hell or a lake of fire, which the devil and his followers and all who, those who choose to walk against him would be cast into. Jesus repeatedly taught the doctrine of non-resistance. Scriptures that we looked at, he was teaching us there that we are to suffer mistreatment rather than take vengeance on those who mistreat us and misuse us. They knew what he was saying. When he told them that if someone compels them to go a mile, they were to go with them twain. It was in the Roman law that a soldier could go and could ask of any Jewish person to take their luggage or whatever they had to carry it, and they were required to carry it for a mile. And just a mile, and they could set it down. Jesus is saying, if that's what they do, go with them twain. You imagine how that would have spoke to that soldier. Do you think he would have asked questions as to why would you have done that? Jesus is calling them to be a city that is set on a hill. And when the world sees something like that, it makes them look, it makes them wonder, it makes them ask questions. Scripture also comes a little closer home to us. It says when someone takes some of our things, let them have it. If someone asks something from you, borrows something from you, don't ask to take it back again. If a man will take thee to law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And these are some of the things that we face from time to time, and how do we relate to them? I remember when I was a young man at home, we were farmers, and we had to run the road quite a bit with our farm equipment, and a car ran in back of our manure spreader. And the man was hurt and eventually died. And the family hired a lawyer, and they were going to take it to court. We didn't know what was going to happen. You know, times like that really test us as to where we stand. And we do not know yet today why they chose to drop the case, because they probably would have had a good case and been able to win. For whatever reasons, they chose to drop it. But those are things that we face from time to time, and how do we deal with that? What do we do? But maybe even a little closer home that affects us is, what about when people borrow our things? How do we respond when they don't bring it back? There's Christian ways to approach that. But finally, it's important that through all that, we show the love of Christ. And there may come a time when we simply need to just simply lay it down. One of the things that we must always remember when we find ourselves in situations like that we show the Christ-like spirit. In verse 48, it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. In verse 44 and 45, it talks about our enemies, and we are to bless them and to do good to them that hate us. Do you ever find yourself being made fun of, walking down the street? What is your response? What is my response? How do I relate to that? Can I still show a Christ-like spirit? Christ tells us to be like a lamb, harmless. Hatred is expected from the world. But when they can see love come forth, that really speaks. Just recently, I was reading again the account of the shooting at the Amish schoolhouse. And the wife or the mother of the boy that shot those children
She said she was just overwhelmed by the love that was shown in that Amish community. And this was flashed across the news. It spoke tremendous when they saw that here was a people that were willing to forgive something as horrendous as this. That is the teachings of Jesus. We are to love those who misuse us. The golden rule in Luke chapter 6, verse 31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also likewise. And that is something that it's important that we keep in mind. As we respond to others, how would we want them to respond to us? And that carries over into our business dealings as well. As we work with others in the community or otherwise, whether we're buying or whether we're selling, how do we treat others? Do we treat them as we would want them to treat us? Before we do anything and respond in any way, think about how would I want that individual to respond to me in this given situation. In John chapter 18, Jesus gives us some more teaching in relation to non-resistance. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom from hence." Jesus is teaching the two kingdom concept here. We are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is representing another country. This country is not my home. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. And we represent another country. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Jesus is teaching us here that we're not to be involved in physical warfare. And Jesus left us with a perfect example when he was willing to lay down his life at the cross. He faced an unfair trial. He was accused of things that he had never done. They mocked him. They beat him. And finally killed him. And yet, he did not resist. In one place in the scriptures, it said he could have called for 10,000 angels, legions of angels. But he didn't. He laid down his life for us, because he loves us. We go to Romans chapter 12. We have some more teaching in relation to non-resistance. Romans chapter 12, looking at verse 12. Says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessities of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, it's the teachings of Jesus in challenging us to suffer and to suffer patiently. We are not to get even with evildoers. We're not to get even with those who do us wrong. 17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest before all men. Again, as we relate to others, keep in mind, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We are to leave vengeance to the Lord. Let him take care of it. Let it in his hands. If we go to the early church, they face some tremendous opposition. We go to Acts chapter 16. We have the account of the Apostle Paul. In verse 22, it says, and the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safe, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosened. And the keeper of the prison awaked out of his sleep, and seeing the doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do yourselves no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must we do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the words of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Here we see the Apostle Paul showing, demonstrating the doctrine of non-resistance in his life. Rather than simply taking the opportunity to escape, he reached out and he helped someone else and he brought them to Christ by showing them love. Stephen's another example of a man who showed the love of Christ. When they were there stoning him, he looked up into heaven and he said, lay not this sin to their charge. An example of non-resistance. There were many Christians that were stoned, burned, persecuted. They stood for truth, but they did not take revenge. Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna, a very faithful bishop. He was 86 years old and was arrested for his commitment to Christ. And when he was demanded to reproach Christ and go free, Polycarp replied, 86 years I have served him and he never had done me any harm. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? He was then burned at the stake. A living and dying example of a man that showed the love of Christ in his life. As we think the doctrine of non-resistance, it first of all begins with a surrender of our will. It is not natural for us to turn the other cheek. It is not natural. It begins with a surrender of the will. It begins with a new life in Christ. It wasn't until the Apostle Paul experienced the change of heart that he was willing to and surrender his will, that he was willing to lay down his life for the cause of Christ. Before his conversion, he was out to hunt the Christian. After his conversion, he became a hunted man. Because he surrendered his will, he was harmless. And he was willing to suffer at the hands of others. Jesus says, "Blessed is the poor in spirit, for they shall see the kingdom of heaven." If we are going to follow the example of Christ, we must first deny ourselves and follow him. What are some practical applications to the doctrine of non-resistance? We had looked at John chapter 18, verse 36, and there's where it talks about that of the kingdom, that our kingdom is not of this world. We are not to fight. We are not to take the life of other individuals. I believe another practical application is a proper love among us. When someone says something unkind, or we see that someone in the church ignored us, what is some of our feelings to that? To return in kind? No. Reach out. Show love. Just lay it down. They probably didn't mean it anyways. That's what Christ is asking of us. Solomon tells us that jealousy is as cruel as the grave. And it begins with feelings. It begins with just little things. And if we continue to feed that, it can develop into worse. We are called to love. We're called to love our brother. We're called to love our neighbor. Love those around us. The Bible says, "Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer." And none of us would say that we hate our brother or we hate anyone. But how does this demonstrate it in our lives? Non-resistance on the highway. What is my response? And I'm challenged from that from time to time. What is my response when somebody pulls out in front of me? When somebody in front of me doesn't use their turning signal, what is my response? When someone doesn't dim their lights, how do I respond? How should I respond? How does the Christian respond? Those are little areas that can test us and our relationship. Is it right for us to post trespassing signs on our property that says that we will use the law? Is that right as a non-resistant Christian? Those are little areas that test us. We had looked earlier at if somebody borrows our, a neighbor borrows our things and don't return them, how do we respond? I know of a man, I shared this story. He said he was a farmer and he had just bought a new Kelly Packer. He said it was a nice, and I forget what width, 14-foot Kelly Packer, and he just had it dropped off in his yard. And he was going away for the day. And the neighbor came over in the morning and said, wondered if he could borrow it. And he said, sure. And that night he came home, and he noticed his Kelly Packer was messed up. It obviously, he must have caught a fence in the fence row, and it was twisted. And he didn't know right how to respond. And so he didn't say a lot. The neighbor offered to get him another one. And that's what the neighbor did. Instead of a brand new 14-foot Kelly Packer, there was a used 10-foot Kelly Packer sitting in his yard. Now what does he do? He decided just to simply let it go. It didn't go real long. I'm not sure if it's still it was that year or the following year. They came home from church, and they noticed their neighbor's cows out, and they noticed a couple in the pit, manure pit. He told his boys, he said, let's get the tractor and the rope, and let's go get his cows out. And he was out there getting the cows out when the neighbor came home. He said it didn't go more than 2 weeks, and there was a brand new Kelly Packer sitting in his yard. That's how he related to it. It might not always work that way, but But God is calling us to show a Christ-like example, and it'll always speak to the world. We will be as a light that is set upon a hill if we continue to let our light shine. And we're challenged many times in these areas. It is a principle that is taught that we need to live by. And it is important that we continue to show a Christ-like spirit to the world around us. As they see the love in our hearts flow through in our actions and our everyday life, it will challenge them. The Bible is calling us to be as a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. If we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, our light will shine. And it'll speak to the world around us. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. This world is not my home. I represent another country. May we point others to Jesus Christ by our lives and the way we live. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. We thank you for the example that you had set in your word. And Lord, we just pray that each one of us would live out your life, your love, your will in our hearts and lives. And as we relate to the world around us, as we face the challenges of how to respond, Lord, just give us wisdom. May we always have a Christ-like spirit in whatever we do. Just be with us. Lord, as you look among us this evening, we're going to give an invitation hymn. If there be anyone here tonight that realizes that they are not right with you, or realize that there's something in their life that they need to make right, we pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts. Commit this time to you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.